Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the Everyday Struggle podcast. I'm Nadeska, here to take you through our biggest debates of the week, including a very heated argument about Game's debut album, The Documentary, which we did not air on YouTube. Academics is adamant that it's a classic hip-hop album, but Wayno's not trying to hear any of it, so let's get into it. This all started during a conversation about Lil Wayne, who finally reached a settlement with Birdman and Cash Money Records that'll hopefully free the Carter Five.
I thought that Wayne was going to put out an album around next summer.
You did.
Which means the issues he has with Cash Money had to be resolved before then. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of sets it up for that. I don't know if necessarily Carter 3 will drop this year.
Carter 5.
We're about to talk about Carter
3. You're already nervous?
Yeah. but Carter 5, it's setting it up for that. I mean, I'm not surprised that it got resolved. But I'm surprised, well, not really. I'm not surprised by any of this, yo. The only part I really want to discuss is that Birdman ain't paid shit like UMG paid it. Like, if I'm reading the reports right. And the report from The Blast is that it's at least 8 figures, right? Which means it's over 10 million, but he wanted 51, so we don't know if he got 25 or 40 or just 15. But Birdman just finessed his way out of this. Like, getting somebody else to pay your debt while you stalled it out and you're still in the studio with your son and he's happy. I guess he got his money. He's now on UMG, not on Cash Money. It works for both of them. If I'm Wayne, and again, I think that's why they have such a complex relationship. Even after shit is resolved, like, how do y'all still work stuff like that out and still be in a studio together? Like, how could you even really want to deal with that person? I don't know. And I think we will see later on, but hopefully my man Wayne over here got some inside information, because I ain't gonna lie, Lil Wayne was claiming Roc Nation for like a good part of the time when he was on hiatus, and I was expecting him to come out like, you know, them little college recruits, them little high school recruits, and put on a hat saying, I'm Roc Nation, baby. So I want to see how that fits into it. And also, we probably will hear now, or I hope, through Wayne or maybe some book he writes about the whole process and shit he was going through, because we didn't hear a lot. Like, maybe how Jay helped him and maybe some other people who helped him really get to this point.
Right.
But overall, Carter 5, I'm now looking at the fans who've been saying they want the music, they want the music. If Carter 5 had dropped in 20... It was supposed to come out in, was it 2012?
A long time ago.
It was a long time, right?
Yeah.
2015.
Right.
Was it 2015? I feel like it was earlier.
But it felt like every year since his last album.
Exactly. But if it had came out back then, I thought that the anticipation was so crazy for it. And now I look around and I see people, they still love Wayne, but I'm like, are they fiending for this project? Or are they like, yeah, if it comes, it comes. Mm-hmm. Or when it does come, we might care, but we don't.
I believe one of you also made a good point that it matters if it's the album he recorded however long ago,
yeah.
or if he goes back and updates it,
because right.
music changes so quickly.
So with this whole shit, and you were saying about like the moving forward, I think that the love that they have for each other supersedes any dollar amount. I mean, like, Baby Birdman, he invested in Wayne when he was very, very young. And he invested in all the Cash Money very, very young. Wayne was the one that really stood the test of time. Wayne became an icon. I think that might have went into, like, resolving a lot of the issues. Because ultimately, nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants no bullshit to happen. I'm happy that they finally got this shit resolved because it was looking like it was never going to happen, right? So I don't know what the dollar amount is. Just the fact that they came to some sort of agreement says a lot about both of them as men. Even if he got somebody else to pay it, I think that that's really ill that he got this shit done. Because like I said before, I think that when they started out, they were handling a lot of business and it's a lot of shit that they didn't know. And sometimes when you may not know something, another person could deem it as you're being shady. And I don't know exactly what their conflict was, but maybe I'm giving Birdman the benefit of doubt that he might have not knew a lot of the things that he was getting into, maybe on the royalty side. Like, I learned new shit in music every single day. So they was making so much money so fast. But as far as with Carta Five, I don't know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. My anticipation for it is just that I want Wayne to be able to handle this adversity in a good way where he comes out on top. Nothing's better than seeing Wayne happy.
Funny enough, Wayne's legal troubles were settled just as we came up on the 10-year anniversary of The Carter 3, one of my personal favorite albums, but according to my co-hosts, definitely not a classic. Classic or not?
Okay, so I gotta approach this one the right way, right? Carter 3 is not my favorite album from Wayne. Carter 2 is my favorite album from Wayne.
I knew you'd say this shit.
Wait, yo, he's always trying to predict.
He's
more lyrical. I mean, of course. I make a lot of lyrical shit.
It is more lyrical, but Carter 3, I don't feel like it's a classic album, but it's a classic moment in time. It's a classic hip-hop moment. I think when you think of just the whole Carter series, specifically 3, 3 is like the most pivotal one. Even though 2 is my favorite, mm-hmm. 3 is the one where you really understood who Wayne was in the game, right? Now,
and also his work leading up to it.
His work leading up to it, because Dedication 2 is fucking one of the greatest mixtapes of all time, right? Now, when it comes to Carter 3, I felt like, because it wasn't as lyrical as Carter 2, for me,
okay.
That's why I don't...
For you personally...
get straight to it, man.
I'm getting straight to it. He just got excited because he thought you were helping him out.
No, he is.
No, like, but look, I'll say this, right? Because at one point in time, the biggest system of rating albums was The Source, right? Mm-hmm. If this was rated on a Source system, I would give it 4.5 mics. I wouldn't give it 5.
That's still pretty great.
It's a great classic. It's a great album, but 5 classifies as a classic.
Mm.
So I felt like...
Why isn't it a classic? I think that's the better thing.
I felt like he dumbed it down a bit lyrically. And I felt like if he... Now, all right. I'm gonna tell you why I feel like it's not a classic. Because I felt like if he would have been rapping at the same magnitude of pace that he was on Carter 2, then a lot of the kids that grew up now to see what they are today, when he started dumbing it down, they wouldn't have been dumbing down their records.
Whoa.
So it really changed the trajectory of hip hop for real, because he was rapping so much on Dedication 2, Carter 1, Carter 2. When it came to Carter 3, he rapped, but he didn't have the same ability. I think he dumbed down his ability to make bigger records.
Okay.
That's why I felt like it wasn't a classic.
So just to get your point fully clear.
Yes.
Without comparing it to Carter 2, because again, a lot of times we do compare artists, like their previous works to their current work.
Mm-hmm.
Just take Carter 3 in a vacuum. If mm-hmm. somebody else put that out,
mm-hmm.
would it be a classic?
Wait, take Carter, wait.
Yeah, so you're not comparing it.
Yeah,
not comparing,
don't compare to Carter 2.
Just imagine Carter 2 right? never happened, which is hard to do. In a vacuum. Because you did say it was a classic moment, right?
It's
but
a
you said to
moment.
You personally, it's not classic. I think that's the hard thing.
That was the first, okay.
Classic in general or to you personally?
Okay, so this was the first album since... I think it was The Massacre that sold 1 million in a week. Because it's the first album since The Massacre that sold 1 million in a week. And this was 2008, Massacre was 2005.
The songs were so big, you couldn't
the songs were,
go
like,
anywhere without hearing it. It's the only thing we listened to that summer. I think there's some great lyrical songs.
And there was a lot of songs that, as I said, you gotta...
Okay.
All right, hold on, wait.
Wait.
I'm gonna help you out, wait.
What's this shit? La.
This was my argument, and you could poke holes in my argument.
Okay.
A lot of people, they did not like it. I said that, listen, the momentum that Wayne had going up to Carter 3, essentially, as long as he delivered a good album, we're going to consider it classic. but it's really not a classic. It's not a standalone classic. We think about the Carter 3 based on the run and the momentum he had going up to it, and he was bodying shit. A lot of the great records he made did not even make Carter 3. I'm not discrediting the ones that did.
Yeah, because a lot of shit got leaked.
Yeah, a lot of that shit is dope that did make it.
Right.
But I look at it and when I think about what's a classic to me, a classic to me is almost an album with no skippables, just hard tracks.
No flaws.
Hard track. Exactly. And I look at it and there's a couple tracks I'm like,
It's not a couple.
You got a lot of skips on this?
Nah, I got two skips. And the only two skips I have is Lollipop, right?
That was a huge single.
Right. It was. But we're talking in terms of what we feel a classic.
But it's a good sign if one of your skips was comfortable. Got to get out.
That and Lala, right? Okay. And wait a second. See,
about Phone Home.
Phone Home, Wheezy. Phone Home.
I didn't want to hear that bullshit, man.
I wasn't. Yeah, that's another one.
When we talk in terms of classic albums, not compare
because I don't compare all classic albums. But the thing about it is, you have to stack them next to each other, right? When I think of classic, in terms of classic albums, I think of course, you know, Reasonable Doubt, like the obvious, like the Reasonable Doubts, Life After Death, Machiavelli, shit like that. I even felt The Love Below, taking apart, what's his name's part? Speaker Box. Love Below, Andre 3000 himself is a classic. College Dropout.
So which Wayne album are you? Carter 2 is a classic, or are there no classics then?
I don't think he has any classics to me.
Carter 2 is a classic.
A classic?
It's a classic.
Start to finish?
It's a better body of work if we're talking a lyrical perspective. To me, it's more cohesive.
Damn, you might be right on this. I can't
like, the thing with Carter 3, man, and I know I'm still going to get killed for it, I just can't call it a classic, and I just feel like people get trapped in that time. If you say, you said the right, I like how you said it. It's a classic moment.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, it has inspired many albums. And by the way, these things matter. Yeah, many artists. It matters in determining if an album is a classic. However, you also have to evaluate the album. Mm-hmm. You get me? And when I evaluate the album, I stop short of saying it's a classic. And what I remember last time when they were killing me for it, you know what I mean? Like, we live in extremes nowadays, and trust me, on my Instagram, it's usually very extreme.
The caption king.
Classic or trash. Right. And a lot of people.
There's a lot of in between. And
of course, that's what I'm saying. So when I said it wasn't classic, a lot of people were saying, wait, is he saying Carter 3 is trash? No.
Right, you're not saying
it's trash. It's not saying it's trash. It's a pretty good album, but it's not. When I think about the classics, and I mean, I could even keep it in the 2000s. I thought Documentary was classic. Get Rich or Die Tryin' was classic.
Documentary being classic.
Documentary's not classic?
Documentary's not classic.
I thought Documentary and Doctor's Advocate was
Doctor's Advocate is way better than Documentary. People are victims to the moment on Documentary.
Stop.
I'm dead serious. People are victims to the moment on Doctor's Advocate.
Doctor's Advocate is better
than Documentary.
You're right.
It's a lot. Wait. One second.
Both of them could be classic.
Documentary had a lot of great production. Game's Raps wasn't that dope to me.
And this is right about where things got heated. The Carter 3 debate spilled over into an argument about Game's 2005 album, The Documentary, that continued long after we stopped rolling. Wayno, why is The Documentary not a classic album?
The Documentary is not a classic because it wasn't Game working on his own. It wasn't him. It was a lot of plug-in shit. A lot of that shit was just them telling him to fill in the blanks on the songs, and you can hear it. You can hear it. Because when you look at it, right, he had production from High Tech, Kanye, Just Blaze. He did the typical hip-hop shit that he needed to do at the time. Right. He had 50 Cent on all of the records. 50 Cent had the biggest hooks on all of his biggest records, right? Not to take nothing away from that, Game's album had a lot of features. It's like a compilation of people creating the album with him as opposed to him creating it himself. My favorite album from Game, I said it before, was Doctor's Advocate because Game was on his own when he did the shit. It's more of him focusing and creating as opposed to being in the studio with all of these people that have to move really fast because...
So then can we take away, can we say Kanye has no classic albums? Because on, so man. Many people on, help him create those
what
projects.
Is Wayno talking
you know what the fuck
about?
I'm talking about? What do you mean?
Okay, let's we got to break down the criteria for a classic. You know what a classic album is?
What?
A classic album, number one, it has to have the impact. Mm-hmm. Does Doctors... No, not Doctors have
Documentary.
It. Documentary by The Game. Mm. First album have that cultural impact.
I got a good one for that. I got a good one for that.
I say yes. Okay, now let's for that. I say yes. You gotta remember the West Coast was kind of it wasn't that prominent in mainstream rap at that point. It really kicked the door down. Basically, you had a guy from Compton holding the torch. He kind of was the only person holding it down on a mainstream level for the West Coast at that time. Off that alone, gave us a different sound, a different style than what was popular. I believe it kind of set up for Kendrick to come like 6 years or whatever.
Really? It set up for Kendrick to come like 6 years later?
Yeah, if
the West documentary Coast, or yeah. Game?
Well, the documentary is an album which repopularized that West Coast sound. The West Coast sound was not a mainstream sound that people were accepting.
What about the impact within that year or 2 years? Not looking
okay. Kendrick. And also in terms of impact.
What?
Also in terms of impact, it was the cementing of G-Unit as pretty much like a behemoth in, yo, we have all the regions locked. Buck from the South. We have The Game from the West. We have, of course, 50 Yayo Banks from the East. It was a movement. The G-Unit wave, or their run, is one of the most iconic runs.
What's your favorite song off that album?
Which one?
Off what album? What album are you talking about?
Okay, Start From Scratch.
Start From Scratch is Start your from favorite scratch. Song.
Classic song. And also, to your point, I told him how 50 helped out.
50.
We're right. Well, you know what? This is every New Yorker's point. With
No. Wait. No, now let me jump in because...
Since when do we judge albums by their singles? It was only singles.
No, don't say that. Since we judge albums by singles. 50's on three fucking songs. Hater to Love It is not just a single. It's one of the biggest songs on the project. Now,
which was a single.
Now, look, cultural impact. That cultural impact came from 50 Cent.
So that, taking they, all of that away from me, the game. Okay.
That's when 50 Cent could have put out a fucking blank disc. And
so you're saying if 50 was not on this album at all?
50's not on this album at all.
It would not have performed. It would not have
gone to the top five. I could get, this is my top five songs. There's no skip.
Your top five songs.
Top five songs for this project.
What's the biggest songs off the project?
Those are the singles.
The best songs are the biggest songs.
Those are the singles.
The best songs are the biggest songs.
No. The songs. Why? If we have 50 Cent, the biggest artist, if you have a song with Drake, that's not your single?
50 Cent was the... wait a second, but my thing is...
That's the biggest song.
The point that you're missing about this shit is that...
I'm saying the best songs are not...
A lot of that impact comes from him being a part of G-Unit. He'd been on Aftermath for years. He was sitting there doing nothing.
You're penalizing my man.
I'm not penalizing. I'm telling you why it's not a classic album.
Because he had help.
I'm telling you why it's not a classic album. You want to know why it's not a classic album?
Why?
Because this shit is cookie cutter. It's a lot of open spaces where they just tell him, rap right here. And you can hear it.
My guy?
Come
it's
on,
a song. What do you want to do? The hook, the track, the beat, everything?
How would you judge his rapping on the album?
Huh?
How would you judge his rapping on the album?
His rapping? No, he can... Game can fucking rap. He can rap, but...
So the bars are up to par, but
his
just
bars
like
is
it was
good.
Too much plug and play.
It's contrived. That's a very contrived, put-together album.
West Side Story could have done with 50, without 50. And it is great with 50. That is probably the only song that probably teeters on my top five. But you're going to tell me Start From Scratch. You're going to tell me Church for Thugs. You're going to tell me Special. You're going to tell me Like Father, Like Son. One of my favorite game songs of all time. And even higher. You're going to tell me those songs.
Higher, all right, now, even to Higher. Let's play this shit right now. The whole hook is some shit that 50 would have said. It sounds like 50 Cent on the hook in his game.
So you feel like this is not even a game album?
It's a game. No, listen. No, it's
a game project that Game didn't create.
You're discrediting my guy, though.
How many skips on this project?
You're discrediting.
How many skips?
How many songs do you skip on this project?
Hold on, let me look at the track list. My memory is not as good as it used to be.
You're discrediting my guy because you feel like 50 helped out.
I'm not discrediting him. It's a very good album. I'm telling you why I feel it's not a classic album.
Because the reason why I feel got it's helped not a, by a feature.
All right. So what makes a classic? You said what makes a classic album, right?
Yeah.
What makes a fucking classic album? What makes a classic album is a whole compilation. This shit is a compilation.
So you're saying it didn't age well, right? A classic album didn't age well. We should be able to look back and be like, this sounds even better than it did at the time.
It's the same shit I said about the Carter 3 shit. It's a great moment in time. It's a great moment to happen. We remember the moment that it happened.
You'll hear more of that argument next week. But for now, let's get back to a current release, Kid Cudi and Kanye's new project, Kids See Ghosts. Any standout tracks for you guys? Of course, a short project. Not a long listen at all.
Let me look at this one.
We got the track list right here.
I gotta be honest with you, it's all right. But I expected a goddamn classic, and after listening to it, I don't believe it's a classic.
You expected a classic, cut it out.
Kanye and Cudi? Yeah, of course.
In the current state of Kanye, you expected a classic?
I expected a master, bro. Just off Cudi carrying, though.
True.
Okay, and I know it seemed like y'all got some doubt about Kanye, like musical talent. He does say wild shit, and he's been off for many years, okay? But I don't doubt that man's musical talent if he really wants to create great music.
Are you thinking freely right now?
Of course, you think I'm
thinking. Out of love.
Are we acting like Kanye washed or something?
No, I'm not saying he's washed. I'm just saying I wasn't expecting a classic, but what was lackluster for you then?
Hold on. Let's go back to just even expectations. Kanye and Cudi. Two of the, to me, the pillars of what music has evolved to, they have basically inspired a shit ton of these new niggas. Like, I would imagine that if they are collaborating on a project that you would imagine is not out of necessity, but it's something that they would want to do for passion or whatever else, it would be great, and I would imagine it would be a classic.
I'm not doubting Cudi. He's a legend. I love Cudi. No disrespect at all, but I maintain with the current state of Kanye, I wasn't expecting a masterpiece, although I wanted it to be a masterpiece. But, Wayno, what did you think?
I was expecting something good, but I'm going to keep it 100. After Feel the Love is the
you
first
have your
song.
Chicken soup before you...
What'd she say?
Did you get your chicken soup before you listen to this album, man? I got to make sure you were in the best...
Listen, let me keep it a bend. Let me keep it a bend on this, right? All right. So... After Pusha T's verse on Feel the Love, this shit is trash.
Ooh.
I'm keeping it 100.
Wayno with the hot take.
This shit is trash. Like, me personally, the whole Kanye, Cudi thing,
I thought that's something trash.
I know, this is a lot.
I think it's trash, and I stand on that. And maybe it's really not for me. Now, I was asking people on Twitter, like, what they felt about the album, and a lot of people was like, well, if you're a Cudi fan, then you'll really love it. I love Cudi's first album. It's that Man on the Moon, right? Like, I love that shit. But
classic?
I feel it's a classic. But this, nah, not jagging this shit. I thought it was trash. As soon as Kanye started going, ga, 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 da, 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 I was like, nah, this shit, I can't fuck with it. This shit is not for me.
I'm not gonna lie, I heard it, like, in a cab on the way to the airport. I was a little buzzed. I heard it, I had to turn it off at first. But I put it back on. I love Cudi. I wouldn't say it's trash. I like a couple songs, but... Anyway, Ak, what don't you like about the project then? We heard Wayno's take.
Right.
Cut it out.
I'm shocked by this. Listen, man, I thought Wayno was going to give us a 500-word essay right now about how it's lackluster. To hear him just direct trace it, boy, this shit garbage, okay? Of course, he has the spirit to push a T verse. But of course, understand right now, Pusha, he's on a high. Still so Maddie body drip, but it's all good. But fine, I get it. Hey, you know what? He ain't that wrong.
No.
But I'm not calling nothing trash with Kid Cudi. Maybe my brain hasn't mentally, like, deciphered it
okay,
yet.
Okay, so question. Did you?
Okay, sonically, all right. Sonically, just hearing it without trying to maybe understand it more. And it's a lot of times, like, with the artists I like, I replay it a lot of times. And sometimes it grows on me.
I listen to this shit in the headphones on a 30-minute. The album's with, like, 20 minutes. Yeah. I listened to it on, like, a 15, 20-minute walk I had to take. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you bang it in the whip?
I banged it in the whip. See, that's the test. I played this shit in the whip. And the whole time, after the gag shit, I was just like, nah, man, I just can't.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Fuck with this shit.
A lot more anticipated projects coming up this year, and we're definitely hoping Meek Mill gets in line to drop an album, but his legal troubles are still pending. Plus, it probably doesn't help that Nicki Minaj is describing his judge as sweet and maternal. Of course, Meek Mill has been out of prison. He's back on the homecoming tour performing. He just did Summer Jam, having a good time working on music. And Nicki Minaj doing a couple interviews for her album, and Meek keeps coming up. So a few weeks back, while speaking to Zane Lowe, she said, the judge in question did everything I asked of her, so I can't badmouth her. Now, in a new interview with Elle, she touched on this again, saying the judge was very sweet and maternal, and we both cried in her chambers, and she gave him another chance. So, look, Meek has responded to this on The Breakfast Club. His take was Nicki just shouldn't say anything about this, period. Right. Do you guys think it's kind of funny the way she's addressing this, considering what he's been through?
Absolutely. What's the term? The friend of my enemy is my enemy? You know that she's putting this man in a crazy-ass position where he could potentially be locked away for 2 to 4 years mm-hmm. based on, like, the smallest infractions. And to even say anything, like, at this point, damn, Nicki, like, why don't you just drop a diss song or something? That was harsh. Like, yeah. I felt like that shit was harsh. That you shouldn't comment on nothing going on with that man. Y'all are not together.
Right.
You don't want to talk about that side of the relationship or what you had with him. Just leave Meek name alone, like, at this point, because that shit just doesn't look good at all.
Yeah.
She's a major figure. That can sway a lot of people's... I mean, it's not the public is not in the courtroom or none of that shit, but that can sway how a lot of people feel about Meek. Like, damn, so is he lying about what he's saying?
That, I think, exactly, when you sort of, like, listen to these quotes and read in, that's what it sounds like she's insinuating.
Well, if you look at it and if you think about the timing of it, I'm wondering when the interview was done. If the interview was done recently, Nicki, you tweet. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you what's going on currently. Meek Mill got out of jail not because, like, they're just saying his case is dismissed. Meek Mill is definitely still in the midst of what's going on, right? But a higher court actually allowed him to get out on bail. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what just happened within the last week. A higher court also ruled we don't have the authority to take that judge off the case. So that judge is still on the case.
Right.
Here's what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks. Meek has to go back in front of that same judge.
Right.
Janice Brinkley. Same judge. Again. That judge can say, fuck that higher court that took you out of jail. Go back.
Right.
He could get sent back to jail in 2 weeks again.
Right.
If this is from when she first commented around the Zane Lowe time, maybe she didn't understand the severity and what Meek has been fighting to, number one, get out of jail. Because it was a weird time when she did comment about it.
Yeah.
But if this is an ongoing thing where she's, every time she's asked about the case, she's just saying, oh, well, all I could tell you, the judge was a great lady. And now we're here and she cried. We cried together in the chambers.
That's
crazy. And me and her are cool. Again, I understand. And that's why I had told you guys I thought Nicki was going to come out with a breakup album. And I thought, number one, that plays well to her fans. But also, you understand, a woman being in a situation, especially what Meek was going through and being silent, of course, people want to hear her side.
Right.
Feels like she got some animosity for me.
Because, look, you can have the breakup album. You can talk about your personal issues. This is different. Legal is a whole nother ball game. Yeah, someone's life
freedom,
and is on the line here.
100%. But I do believe that she's not thinking, yo, I need to, like, still hold him down in that regards. Mm-hmm. I think in her perspective, I held him down enough. And I'm going to just at least give my truth, even though I think for the majority of us, we would say,
no comment.
You don't need to speak on that.
No comment is also an option. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
But her name was a little bit brought into it, right? When Meek also brought her name up, but also it was reported that when the judge had said certain things to Meek, like, yo, hey, give me a shout out on a song, leave Roc Nation and record a song Boyz II Men on bended knees. Apparently, it was a private chamber meeting with Meek, Nicki, and her. So a lot of people were waiting on Nicki to say, "All right, Nicki, what happened? Is Meek saying the truth?"
Right.
And we didn't think she would ever say, "No, I don't know about all that. Oh, this is all I know. She's great." We never thought that. But these are the things that's making Nicki's comments look a little weird. I don't know why she's actually talking about Lakers.
Yeah, like, I mean, at the point where he's facing whatever he's facing, and it, like you said, it's still lingering, it's still ongoing, and a lot of major people went to bat for him. And she's a major person. Mm-hmm. Like I said, like, that could sway opinions. Because it's going to make people say, well, was it that bad? Or, like, is she really that bad?
Right.
It's a larger conversation to be had about all this jail reform shit. Mm-hmm. And Meek is not the only person
that it affects.
Mm-hmm. And he's putting the whole shit on him as to be the guy, the face of unfair treatment in the justice system. And for something like that to come out, I think that she should just fall back and be like, yo, listen, I don't got nothing to say about it. Like, honestly, that's your ex. I ain't got nothing to say about it. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. I ain't got nothing to say. Because that shit just don't look good.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Honestly, if I'm reading between lines here, and the multiple times she commented, she's saying this. And I think we're trying not to read in between lines. We're trying to just stay on the surface and why she's saying this. Like, if I read these comments, I know that when I went there pleading for his freedom, I know that the judge spoke to me very sweet, very maternal. We both cried in her chambers, and she gave him another chance, so I don't know what's going on. She's saying Meek is lying. Right. Period. She's saying Meek is lying. Right. She's saying what Meek was saying about whatever, he's lying. Mm. And she's also saying, it's one of those things, and you know what I mean? I hate to bring up, like, how when you're in a relationship versus when the relationship is over, she's also kind of throwing a little salt in there to say, all I know, this judge treated him fairly when me and him were together and gave him another chance. She didn't do anything wrong then. That nigga got sent to jail after I dipped. So I don't know what that nigga did. I can't vouch for him now. All I could do, if y'all want me to slander the judge was fair when I was there. But now, me and him not together no more, who knows
what
he
said,
did.
Might
right?
You might as well just drop a track.
Drop a statement.
You might as well just drop a track and say something about it at this point, because, like, that might be the biggest diss record of the year.
Right.
That shit is disheartening for a person you had love for. Even if, let's keep it all the way real, like, even if Meek was not saying everything that we know it to be, why put him in a position?
Right, you can still say no comment. Because this contradicts everything they've said about the judge's character. Sweet and maternal, that's so specific to say she's maternal. It literally contradicts everything we've heard so far.
Yeah, man. I've had vindictive exes, man. And you know what happened? In their mind, everything that bad that happens to me after we break up, it's because I wasn't with them. And this is how they try to frame it. Yeah. Right. He got another chance, was with me. I don't know who he been hanging out with when he wasn't with me and after we broke up, but his life went to shit. That's like, we've seen this of Nicki, though, not in this context where it's legal, but Nicki does have that, like, greatly masked shade that she puts on anyone she doesn't like or feels some type of way about. Unfortunately for Meek, it actually is an indictment about what he's claiming with this judge, and it makes his character look a certain way, which then might affect the judge, because the judge might hear this and be like, okay, so it's not just everybody against me.
Right.
Nicki co-signed me, and she was there.
And
Meek, when you come back to court in 2 weeks, I got your ass.
One is not support, and that's why when you go to become a juror, they tell you not, of course you can't avoid anything, but they tell you not to read newspapers on the case, nothing, but so that you can have a clear mind when you're making these type of decisions. And it's at a point now where we have to question, will this judge be vindictive in her approach? And will she be petty in her approach? Mm-hmm. And it's like, she doesn't have to say it, but she's a human being. We know that the whole world is going against this woman.
Right.
And now she has some ammo that she could possibly use in her favor. She should have just fell back and been like, nah, man, I don't got nothing to say about his legal shit.
In addition to Meek possibly being sent back to jail, let's keep in mind this judge, which already shows a conflict of interest, which I'm a little bit baffled why she hasn't been taking on the case. The judge, Judge Denise Brinkley, she already hired a lawyer for a defamation lawsuit against Meek.
Right.
Wow.
So you know what's going to support? Hey, he's out here slandering me in the public. He's saying some shit that happened that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And even the chick that came with him is basically saying, no, I was sweet, maternal, nice, and we cried together and gave him another chance.
Yeah.
This nigga's lying and trying to ruin my career. Mm-hmm. And I do believe at this point for the judge, it's more than, I do think it started as a, hey, you know what, apparently she's from the same neighborhood as me. I think it started as a personal thing.
Yeah.
Right? Then it started as a, okay, you're popular, you think you're above the law thing.
Right.
Then it's, wait, you're using your platform to try to defy me type of thing.
Right.
Now I believe it's for the judge, you are trying to get people to ruin my career. So I believe she feels her career is at risk, right? And I think she's going to use every ammunition to get back at Meek, whether it's a defamation lawsuit, whether he fucks up again, she's going to highlight it to the max, and then she's going to put his ass in jail for a much extended
period. Let's pray that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't.
See, to your point, like, look, we don't know when she did this interview. It could have been around the time she did the Zayn Lowe one, which was around April. But yeah, this definitely does not help Meek out, so hopefully things work out okay for him. The review for XXL's 2018 freshman list was pretty lackluster as well, but you could have probably guessed as much after academics leaked the list and accused the magazine of not being transparent. So the 2018 list includes Lil Pump, Smoke Perp, Ski Mask, The Slump God, JID, Stefflon Don, Blockboy JB, YBN Namir, Wi-Fi's Funeral, and Trippie Redd. Now, of course, people are going to be upset about the snubs, but first let's talk about the number 10 spot, which does not exist. Usually they feature 10. This time there's only 9 artists because Lil Skies reportedly turned it down. Academics, I see you nodding with the shady look in your eyes. Why is there no number 10 spot, my man?
I mean, I feel like I've dug too much into the publication already, but listen, I feel like this is a very shameful process for them. Even the way they put it out yesterday, trust me, it felt like they're just kind of like, here's a list. You know what I mean? Just
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Before they would be like, come watch the Breakfast Club. We're going to unveil the list.
But
and after the show, the list will be out.
Why did they do that?
Right.
Good. Okay? Because this was embarrassing. There's usually a 10 spot. No 10 spot this year. You know why? Because there's been so much questions about what this 10th spot entails that I'm glad that they realized, okay, we're hearing the public pressure, we're not going to do it. And also from what we're hearing, they did try to do it because Lil Skies just turned it down, and then they offered to Richard Kidd, who found out that, wait, I'm a replacement? I'm not no bench nigga. Fuck out of here. He did not take it. And of course, they shoot on one day, so I could imagine them saying, if we don't have another artist to be there on that day, let's shoot the cover without him. As far as the list, it's pretty much everyone who I kind of leaked that was going to be on it. Wi-Fi's Funeral, I didn't mention his name, but he's on it. I'm glad for him as well. I want to say, first and foremost, despite me leaking the list, also anything I have said criticizing the list, it doesn't go towards the artists.
Mm-hmm.
All of these artists I fuck with, they are tremendous artists, and in their own rights, they have put in work to deserve them being on this list.
Okay.
So what's the problem?
The problem is that it's not the list. You get me? It's not the list that if you were really coming up with a hip-hop freshman list, it would be. And the reason why is 2 Chainz pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
There's other people that you would see. Like let's name, and
we're
going to talk
into it. All right, yeah, so let's get into it.
So he says, right, Lil Baby, 6ix9ine, T Grizzly, Moneybagg, yo, NBA Youngboy, a couple people he thinks deserve some love on this list.
Right.
So who would you guys replace then? Who are the biggest snubs?
My biggest snub, and this is one of my personal favorites, just because I'm a New York guy, I feel like Jay Critch should have made the list.
Mm.
I really feel like Jay Critch being the next New York guy because I don't know. I'm sure there's nobody from New York.
Are you on a panel to help these motherfuckers make the list, bro?
No, I'm not. I've never sat on a panel to do any list. But what I'm saying is that there's a few people that I picked because I wanted to revisit the people that I had picked prior, right? Me, personally, I felt Lil Baby, I felt 6ix9ine should have made it. Smoke Perp, I wanted Jaden Smith. Jaden Smith's my favorite artist right now. Lil Skies, I thought Joyner Lucas should have made it. I did pick YBN Namir, and I picked Jay Critch.
Okay.
Now, the only person I'm really not, I won't sit here in front like I know everybody. I've seen Stefflon Don. I've seen a freestyle from her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of her music. And that's not to discredit her by no means.
She's dope. She had that big track with French Montana, but she's more popular in the UK probably still.
Right. And Wi-Fi's Funeral. I never really got into his music, and the only thing I had seen from him was the thing where he jumped into the crowd and got beat up. Like, you know, that's the only thing I had seen. I never really got into his, took the time to get into his music. But I felt like J. Chris should have made it, yo. I was kind of disappointed about that one.
Hey, again, when I was criticizing the list, I said there's a hazy criteria, mm-hmm. right? There's no clear, hey, these are the things we consider. And that's what the reason why they always do the interview, trying to clarify why certain people made it and why certain people didn't. All the time when I've heard them clarify along the years, they always say, hey, we want to make sure the artist has an album out that has sold and the artist is touring, blah, 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 blah. And then I look on the list, and if we're talking about artists who's has had a project out that probably sold pretty decent or whatever, mm-hmm. look at the list and I'm like, who? Other than Pump. And again, no disrespect to none of these artists, but most of these artists, Wi-Fi's Funeral, he's just releasing his project this week, mm-hmm. right? Block Boy JB, he had that one song, but then they put together a project afterwards. He's still trying to get more tractions. We know the Rover song is moving a little bit, but he's trying to...
He had the regular Drake.
I know, I get
That's why he got on there. Like, let's be for real. Blockboy JB, and I'm not...
Okay, so Lil Baby. Lil Baby has a record with Drake.
But his drink just came. Like,
and he dropped a project.
Wait, look. Now, I'm not... Because I felt like Lil Baby is one of my favorite picks right. that I had on there. But Blockboy JB started out the year with his Drake record. So that record was going this whole year. Now, to the whole thing with the sales, that can't be true as well, because Meek was on it before his first album dropped. Kendrick was on it before his first album dropped. Mm-hmm.
Is it sales or big projects like tapes?
I agree with what he said, but that's what I'm saying. There's inconsistent variables that they play on just to justify whoever they used to make the list.
For example, it's hard to keep consistent.
Even though Lil Baby should be a shoo-in on the list.
Right.
And whatever, you could say most of his ascension to the next level, he dropped a project within the last 2 months. He was on a song with Drake in the last 2 months. Perhaps the list, and it was... determined 3-4 months ago, right? And I'm not going to kill him for not having the foresight. But still, Rich the Kid. Rich the Kid, a guy who has campaigned to be on the list from 2 years ago, and I get it, 2 years ago was definitely too early. Last year was, she probably should have made it. But this year, he got a record with Kendrick.
Yeah.
Got a record with Kendrick. Then he's doing a plug walk or run, depending on how you see it. But he should be on it too. Like, so I understand why he would turn down, like, I'm not no replacement.
He should have been in the night.
I feel you, but at the same time, I feel like...
And he outsold everybody on the list except Lil Pump, even the guy they were trying to have him replace, those guys.
But that's why I feel like instead of... I felt like Rich, it was a point in time where he could have made the list, but I felt like he kind of grew past it. A lot of artists, like, that don't make it, and then other artists come up, like a J. Critch, who's his artist... Mm-hmm. That's why I don't think he needs to be on it, because he has his own artist. He has his own entity he's building with Rich Forever. Another person that, I mean, and I don't think anybody should just throw, I don't think the 10th spot should be looked at as throwing scraps or, oh, come on, because nobody else did it. But since it's not a 10th spot, Don Q. why couldn't Don, like, you know, that's just another personal pick of mine. I felt like even if Don Q, because a lot of people feel like Don Q hadn't done enough work or hadn't been enough visible, maybe this could have been the springboard or the trampoline to propel him into doing a bit more. Like, sometimes I feel like the list, making a list, can just push you a little bit more with your determination as an artist. Because I've seen a few dudes on the list before that I had never heard of or seen prior to seeing the list. And, I mean, I've seen everybody that's on this list before.
And let's be clear, there's a running conspiracy out there.
What? Right?
Your own conspiracy?
This is a conspiracy that I was brought... people told me about, because they were really looking into the process or whatever. And even also Bad Baby, Cash Me Outside Girl, mm-hmm. she mentioned it. She says, I was told that despite me having one of the top votes for the quote-unquote 10 spot, the fact that XXL has a condom sponsor for the list, that I wouldn't be able to win. Okay? So that's what she tweeted out. Who knows if it's true? I'm just saying that's what's out there, okay?
That sounds very...
I do think that there is these, like, check boxes. And I'm not mad at this if this is true, right? But I've seen historically...
Keep your thought. One second. I just want you to have the same energy you had for Summer Jam. Because remember when we talked about in terms of picking and how things go and it being certain people's platforms and what they can and cannot do. And sometimes before, and before.
It's the same but different. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, so okay. Go ahead with your thought. I didn't want to throw you off too much.
Okay, well, I'll just get to Summer Jam. I'll answer Summer Jam thing first. And Summer Jam, if I have a venue and I'm protecting this venue, I want to make sure I still have this venue. Forget the sponsors. Summer Jam does have sponsors.
Absolutely.
But that venue is sacred. MetLife and how they're allowed to have a hip-hop concert. Listen, first of all, that probably wouldn't be able to be go down like how it does at the Garden. Okay?
Yeah, definitely not.
So them having MetLife Stadium, where, again, it is a state-run facility. The Giants and Jets play there. This is a place that doesn't tolerate the bullshit. Right. For you to have that and have a historic hip-hop concert for over 20 years there, and you trying to protect that legacy, if you feel like somebody might be coming in with a certain type of energy, I understand, bro, we fuck with you, but we ain't trying to get our shit fucked up.
Okay. Right.
Get that.
Okay.
Okay? Now, it would be different if it's like, oh, Summer Jam provided by, presented by Boost Mobile, and they do have sponsors. Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. And the sponsors say, oh, we don't like these performers. Don't have them. That's a little bit different. And then I would say that's like XXL. It's not like XXL is saying to certain artists, we don't want y'all to fuck up. The list isn't like a venue or whatever.
Right. It isn't, but it's a brand that's represented as well. And they reserve the right of their brand to have that same mindset of protection.
But I think branding only, aside.
Or protection from only sponsors.
Yes, right, all the sponsorships and branding aside, let's talk about actual criteria.
Okay,
criteria. Right? Even if they're basing it on very specific criteria, they're not always going to be weighed equally because artists are always going to be in slightly different positions. So let's hear the rest of this.
This is what I also thought XXL and their panel or their writers or editorial staff, they probably think about when they're creating a list. They're probably thinking, you know what? We do have to fulfill these regional, like, we got to get someone from each region. Mm-hmm. So we get YBN. Where's YBN from?
He's from Alabama.
Okay.
Which is not really, like...
You know, I used to think he was from the West.
I ain't gonna lie, YBN, the reason why I love him so much is because his delivery reminds me of Eazy-E.
Yeah.
The way he, like, delivers his words and he says it so well. He reminds me. He sounds like he's from the West, but I think, like, that comes from his... And he can fucking rap. That's what I really like about him. But go ahead, my fault.
Okay, so, from Alabama. Okay. We'll just say South. But still... Then we have the Florida. Florida is one of the hugest. They're having a huge surge in terms of new music, sounds, or whatever. So you have Pump, Perp, Ski Mask.
They
have
all three from Florida, right?
Exactly. First three on the list right here is from Florida. Then you have to have a lyricist or two. You have to have a lyricist. Okay, we get it. Over the last couple of years, it's been the mumble list, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But you got to have a lyricist. And if it wasn't Joyner,
then
JID.
Okay.
Right?
Joyner was, I don't know, man. He is such
a great pick. Or if not Joyner or JID, it should have been Don Q. I agree. And again, if his name was on the list, I would understand it in that type of way. They had to fulfill the lyricist. And I do believe now, and by the way, I'm not saying that's the only reason why JID's on it. I'm saying he does deserve it because, again, you can't all have the same position on a basketball team.
Right, absolutely.
Okay. Right? And Stefflon Dunn, as a lot of people might not be too familiar with her, but I enjoy the shit out of her music. It might be a little bit biased because me, I like anybody who be sounding a little bit Jamaican.
She's just dope.
I seen a little mini doc on her that's what kind of caught my attention when I seen the freestyle. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know her music, but I think that she's a better pick than a Bad Baby as far as representation.
That's our show for this week. Thank you for tuning into the Everyday Struggle podcast. We'll catch you here every Friday.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.